Thank the Lord this morning for being here, and ask that you'd remember me in prayer, and that I'd be a blessing this morning. We're going to spend a little time in Proverbs 3 this morning. We're going to start with our text, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So our thought this morning is acknowledging God in all your ways. Acknowledging him. It doesn't mean that becoming necessarily aware of how he's working or anything that. What this acknowledgement means, it means that I take time to seek the Lord, ask the Lord, make sure that I'm not just going on my own understanding and I'm just going with what I'm thinking, but I actually am acknowledging God in it. Whatever comes up in my life, I go before him and I acknowledge, God, you are supreme. You know everything. You know exactly what I should do, what I shouldn't do here. You know all about it. And I'm acknowledging, Lord, before you that I don't know. You know, it's just as important not only to acknowledge that God does know, but it's also important to acknowledge that you don't know. Sometimes we want to have it both ways. We want to feel like we have things in control, we know what we're doing, and at the same time, we want to ask God to bless us. But what we really want, what we're really saying is, I want God to bless me in what I'm doing, not in what the Lord, acknowledging him and saying, Lord, I'm not sure that what I'm doing maybe is the right thing. Should I be doing this different? And that's how you acknowledge God in all your ways. There are many times that we do many things in our lives. Everything about us, from what we do for our jobs down to what we do in our personal lives, how we deal with family, how we deal with hardships and struggles, how we deal with our jobs, how we deal with the money in our life, how we deal with people in our life. We need to acknowledge God. We need to acknowledge that I don't have the understanding and all the knowledge that I need to be able to go through this life. And you need to acknowledge to him. Say, Lord, I really need you. I really need you. I can't afford to go through my day today and not acknowledge you in anything. Just go out and pick out what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and just run my whole day and I haven't acknowledged you in any of it. I haven't said, Lord, what do you want me? What do you want out of me today? What is the best course of action for today? It says that if we acknowledge him in all our ways, it says he'll direct our paths. Oh, listen. Some of us don't want to be directed. Some of us don't want to be told what to do. There are many that have gone off into very, very bad places because they would not listen to anybody that was trying to tell them anything. They didn't want to acknowledge that anybody else could see better about how they should run their life than they could. You know, we can look around at people's lives, can't we? And we can look at things and we can say, if they would just do so-and-so, if they would just do this, if they would just do that. But do you know we don't see our own life so well?
That's so true. That's true.
It's easy for us to see where others are making their mistakes. Very hard for us to see where we're making ours. But salvation is personal. Salvation is something that happens between me and God, you and God. It's something that happens between us that we're interdependent. I'm dependent upon God. And he's dependent upon me because I'm his hands, his ears, his eyes, his feet in this life. He's dependent upon me to walk in the way he wants me to go. I'm dependent on him to know what that path is. What is the path I'm supposed to walk on? There are so many times that we look back over our life and we said, oh, if we'd have made a different decision right there, if we'd have just changed that one thing in our life, how much different would our life be right now? How many things would be different? How many things would be more peaceful, more able to be controlled? You know what I'm talking about. We've gotten ourselves into places where we've put ourselves in places that are hard to live under. Hard to get everything we need in the situation we're in. God knows. So he'll direct our paths, but we have to acknowledge him in our ways, in everything. We acknowledge him first. We acknowledge, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Do you know that's acknowledging God? We can say, Lord, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. That's acknowledging God. It isn't just the fact that at the end of the day I say, oh, Lord, that was so wonderful. You did this for me and you did that for me and you blessed me here and you blessed me there. Those are good acknowledgments. But this kind of acknowledgement is acknowledging him beforehand. Before, so that I can have a pathway, can have a light shown on my pathway so I know where to walk. Sometimes the Lord just blesses us. We choose a path, and the Lord has mercy on us, and he blesses it. At the end of the day, we say, oh, Lord, you blessed me so well in that. And the Lord is really in, he would have rather you'd have come to him first because there was something that was real vital that he could have helped with and done something with here that could have benefited you or could have benefited souls around you. But you didn't acknowledge him in anything. You didn't say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm not that smart. You know, there are some of us that are very, very educated, some of us that are not so educated. Do you know that God doesn't care? He doesn't care because he doesn't want you leaning on your own education. He doesn't want you leaning on your own ways. He doesn't want you leaning on your own, the way that you do things, the smart things that you say. You know, there are people all around us that are all the time saying, oh, your advice is so good, or you have such good things to say. You're so smart in that area. And we can get so lifted up. And we really need some help in that very area we thought was so good. We really need some help there because there's usually a lot of perfecting to do on an area where we think that others think that that's a very wise place. Because you know all those others, they aren't necessarily saved people. So all those others that are out there in sin, if they think you always have the best thing and the right thing to say, you better check. Better check yourself. See what you're saying. What are you saying? Are you just spouting worldly wisdom? Because there's something to be said for worldly wisdom. There's something to be said for that. But it's not the way that we live. They live underneath all that worldly wisdom. And for some of them it works and for some of them it doesn't. And there's nothing that backs it up except that it just sounds like a good idea. But we have something that when we acknowledge God in our pathway, in our minds, in our hearts, each and every day, all through the day, he'll direct our path. He'll help us to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. That's what he wants from us. So we want to, as I was reading through this chapter, and I began to see other things that went along with these two verses. In other words, other things, ways that we can acknowledge him in different aspects of our life. So the verses, I've got some of them lined up, and I've got some of them that we're going to jump around. But at any rate, so now I want to go to Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, the first two verses. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a promise?
Yes, it is.
The first two verses we read, they were a promise. But in both of these, it is a promise, but it's not a promise without stipulations.
Amen.
It is a promise with stipulations. You can have this promise, but you have to follow what will bring this promise to fruition.
Right.
It says, forget not my law, and let thine heart keep my commandments.
Amen.
See, we have to acknowledge God that I don't know all the right things to do. We have to acknowledge him and say, Lord, I don't know every one of your commandments. Haven't we found that out as we've gone along? We think of the Ten Commandments, and we think, okay, we've got those. Remember the young ruler, he came and said, oh, I've done this for my youth. He knew exactly what he was accomplishing and doing and all. But there was a law that Jesus was after. There was a commandment that he was after when he said to him, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. See, in other words, what he wanted him to know, there were many things he may have wanted him to know. One was, you can't outgive God. In other words, you give all of this away, you come and follow. You don't know what kind of riches you will receive. You think all these riches are the most important thing in your life. You acknowledge, oh, he probably even said, God has blessed me with my riches. But then Jesus said, well, if I've blessed you with them, then can I have them all? Can I have them all now? Will you give them up for me? Give it all to the poor. They're really needy. The young man probably already did some kind of charity work, but he didn't give it all. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So in these commandments and in these laws, things that I understand and know, we are brought up to understand right from wrong. Most households, mother and father, teaches right from wrong. If not verbally, by example, they teach right from wrong. When the children get out of order, they correct them, teaching them right from wrong. Those are laws, commandments, things that we understand. But do you know we don't know how to do these to the fullest? When our parents taught us that we were to say we were sorry to one another, we didn't know the fullness of that, did we? We just knew we had to say this sentence and it would appease my mother and father. We didn't even have to mean it. And it still would appease them. Because they were trying to teach us that we needed to say it. But God, see, when we acknowledge God in it, God goes down to the inner depths of it. And he says, oh, it's not just saying the words. It's actually have something work and change inside so that the words have meaning and the words have power. Acknowledging God. Acknowledging God that I don't know what all I'm supposed to do. I don't know all right from wrong. There are some things that I may think are very, very good and right, but in your eyes, it might not be right.
Yeah.
Or it might not be right for me.
It's true.
Because God knows my personality.
Yes.
He knows who I am.
That's true.
He knows all the little idiosyncrasies inside of me.
Yes.
He knows what I'm weak in. And he knows this thing here, even though it may not be sin, this just is not good for them because they're so weak along this line that this thing is going to contribute to that.
It's true.
We have to acknowledge his law and commandments. There are so many things that we know, so many things that we've been taught. This is wrong, that's wrong, all these things, different things. And there are many of them we decided, no. I don't think that's wrong. It's different, but I don't think it's wrong.
Yes, I did.
We have to acknowledge God. We have to say, Lord, I don't feel convicted about that thing. I don't feel convicted. But yet there's others that are very convicted about it. Instead of us saying, Lord, they must really have problems. Instead, we should be saying, Lord, is there something wrong with me that I don't see it like others see it? Why do we always feel like our ways are good before the Lord, and other people are doing it their way because they have problems? No, it's us. We need to acknowledge God in the laws, the commandments, the rights, the wrongs that we understand and know, and some of them that we think are just for others, but they need to be for us. We need to acknowledge that when God's word says something about something, we need to take it to heart. There are many scriptures in the Bible that many religious people of this day and age have completely walked over the top of. And they feel very justified in doing it. That was for years ago. That was for the old. That was this. I know of one place that teaches that healing was only for back then as a sign of who Jesus was. It was only for back then. And they teach, and they have it even on their precepts on that they have written out. The very last one says what they believe in. They do not believe you can force God's hand. What that means is they do not believe that you can come to the Lord for healing and not do something yourself. You're supposed to do everything you can do first, and then you can come to the Lord for healing. There are things that people have cast aside, commandments and privileges and all manner of things. People say, oh, you can't live without sin. And yet Jesus died to save not only sinners, but to change their lives and make them into new creatures. Would new creatures go on sinning? Would that happen? Where is it that they find these things? They find them in their own understanding. They find them in the way they want to say the commandment means. They find it in the way they want to look at the law and interpret it. That's where they find these things. They need to acknowledge God. And when they come across those things in the Bible, they need to not just listen to a lot of voices. They need to get alone with God and listen to God's voice. Listen to his voice. Get an understanding from him. Let him shine the light on your pathway. All right, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Amen. Mercy and truth. It says, bind them about your neck. Mercy and truth. Do you know one of the hardest things for people to do in this time and age is to have mercy on people? They see somebody doing something, they get upset, they get riled by it, and they have no mercy. Not considering them, their own selves, not considering that they have some ways about them or some things that really irritate other people. They just know what irritates them. They just know what bothers them. They just know what really brings down condemnation in their mind upon people. But they never consider what I'm doing that causes that in everybody else. We're supposed to have mercy, truth. We're supposed to bind it about our neck. We're supposed to have lots of forgiveness and mercy. Lots of forgiveness and mercy. The scripture says God's mercy endureth forever. And it says it over and over and over and over. And there's one book in, I believe it's in Psalms, that almost every verse ends with, and his mercy endureth forever. We need that mercy. It's a good thing that it endures forever. Because we need it. And we need it over and over and over again. We are so quick to say, if you were really sorry, you wouldn't do it again. We're very quick to say that.
That's true.
But what do we say about our things? We say, well, I made a mistake and it happened again and I'm sorry. And we say, you know, this happened or that happened or I've had a bad day or I'm in pain or this is happening or that is happening. My mind is overstressed. My this, my that. I have all kind of reasons why I've done this and why I'm saying I'm sorry. I have all these reasons, but I don't want to grant the other person any reasons. If you really were sorry, you'd just quit. You wouldn't keep doing this. What if Jesus said that to us? How many of us would be in real trouble right now? Because how many times did you have to go back to God over and over about something, the same thing, that was still working inside of you and still had a foothold in you that you didn't even know about, and God kept having to expose it, expose it, expose it. God is so merciful to us.
Yes, He is.
He's merciful because He doesn't let go. He doesn't let go. When we say, Lord, I want victory over this, He doesn't have to be reminded through the years. You said it one time, He's going to bring about circumstances so you can have victory over this. You may forget. And you may think that everything is going smooth right now and everything is good. And then all of a sudden this flares up again. And you go, Lord, where did this come from? And Lord just wants to say to you, you told me you wanted victory over it. I'm still working on it. Aren't you? Aren't you still working on it? No. We're not acknowledging God in it. We want to say one prayer. We want to say one I'm sorry. And it be done. If we acknowledge God more in it before saying sorry and before saying I have the victory, if we acknowledge God in it, if we actually kept it before Him in prayer, if we actually worked towards it, if we actually didn't just want to hurry up and get over the humiliation of it, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Something is said wrong, something is, and you realize, oh, I've really done it this time. And all what we're really working at, I'm afraid to say, we don't acknowledge God in it. We don't say, God. We don't go to Him and say, Lord, what is this that's working in me that caused me to do this? What happened here? What was touched? What in me is there that I don't understand and know about? We don't go to God and acknowledge Him in that way. We say, Lord, this was really bad, and I just, Lord, help me to say I'm sorry. And all we do is keep running over in our mind over and over and over all day how we're going to say we're sorry. And usually we're going over it, trying to say it in the least humiliating way. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, ma'am.
To where when you say you're sorry, you still have a little bit, you can still stand on your 2 feet.
Right.
You don't feel like you're laying on the floor. But God doesn't want you standing on your 2 feet. He wants you to get really humble. He wants you to be clothed with humility, mercy, forgiveness. He's so serious about this that He said, unless you forgive others, I won't forgive you. That is serious. When the only way we can get to God is through repentance and getting mercy from God, and He's saying, but if you don't do that here on this earth with other people around you, I will not do it for you. That's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Dangerous. Acknowledge God in these things. 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In other words, the very inner workings of your body, the very core of what operates and works in our body, the navel is the life-giving cord attached to our mothers that give us everything that pertaineth to life. Everything. The marrow in the bones is where the blood is manufactured. Listen, dear ones, the core. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Because the very core of who you are needs you to acknowledge that you are not smart enough or wise enough to walk this earth without God's help. Without Him leading you down a pathway. Without Him showing a pathway. Without him producing a pathway. He sees you when you're born. He knows who you are. He knows what you're capable of. And He has a pathway planned. He already has a plan. We're the ones that need to know what it is. We're the one. God already has it. He's not surprised. He's not tossed to and fro, back and forth. He's not saying, well, at first I thought, you know, this pathway would be, no, but now I see that this pathway will be better. No, he's messed up. No, I think it's this pathway. God is not confused at all. But we do that over and over, don't we? I think this is the pathway, and then, no, that didn't work out, so this must be, or maybe this is the pathway. This is what we do, because we're trusting in our own wisdom. God doesn't want us to have that. He wants us to understand that we need to acknowledge what He is doing, what He is providing. And then in Proverbs 3:13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Happy. That's just going to be, you're just going to be happy. You know how people are looking for happiness?
Yes.
They want happiness. They get happiness when they find wisdom and they get understanding. That's when happiness comes, where I'm not continually batting against everything and can't figure out what's the right way and what's the wrong way and everything, and I'm not continually, you know, buffeted on every side. Happiness is when you just have the wisdom to understand. But in Psalms 111:10, it says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's just the beginning. Fearing God. How many people fear God today? How many of us right here in this room truly fear God? Because I believe that we probably, throughout our lives, have taken some pretty good liberties before God. We took some liberties to do some things or keep some things or not destroy some things or whatever. We've taken some pretty good liberties before the Lord because we don't fear. Why don't we fear Him? We don't see Him, number one. Number two, the world has this idea about God that He's so merciful that no matter what we do, but that isn't true, is it? It says we have to follow Him and keep His commandments and do it His way. See, there is a way that leads man to heaven and there's a way that doesn't. He's trying to give us the way that leads us there. But the way that leads us there means that we have to die to us, ourselves, our way of looking at it. We have to stop and acknowledge His ways, His wisdom. He knows the right thing. Oh, listen. There is such peace in knowing. You know how you can turn on the radio. Time to time I turn on the radio on the news. Just know what's happening. You can listen to it about once a week. Figure out what's happening. Anyway, but when we would travel in the car, my husband would turn on the radio just because, you know, you get bored and you need something to kind of keep you awake. And he would listen to all these arguments and things about political things. And I would feel, in the car, I would feel something start coming up inside of me. It would just start, I would feel like it was right in here. And then I would say, honey, we've got to turn that off. I can't take anymore. Why? Because all this earthly wisdom that they're spouting, all of this sinful ideas that they're spouting, all of this calling each other names and saying all manner of evil and all this kind of stuff, it's all of the earth. And your spirit dies when you concentrate on just earthly things. You can feel it. You can feel it filling up. It's like it wants to just choke you. And so what do? You turn it off. And all of a sudden, I remember I would say, it was going here and here, and the argument is this way, and the argument's that way, and it goes back and forth, back and forth. And pretty soon, you're so confused. I don't know about you, but I find my ballots that way when they're putting on propositions on the ballot. First you read why it's a good thing. Then you read why it's a bad thing. Now somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. Because they're saying opposite things. And then there's the rebuttal to the rebuttal. And you know what I'm saying? Trying to go against what they... I read all of that, and by the time I'm done, I don't know what to say. I don't know who's telling the truth. We need God's wisdom. And when I find my peace is when I say, Lord, I'm so glad you have this in control. Then nothing's going to happen but what you want to happen. Because why? Because your people are praying. That's why. We're praying, Lord, whatever you see is best, whatever leader is best, for whatever purpose you have. I mean, there are some leaders that God allowed to be, like the Pharaoh that we studied about this morning. Allowed him to be there. Why? Because his heart was wicked. His heart was so full of himself. He did not follow the obedience or the commandments that to the Lord. He bucked against everything. And God let him be the leader of that day to show forth his power. So there's a reason why leaders rise up. Even the most horrible leaders we can think about in history, there's a reason God let them be. Because he's working, what? He wants to wipe out races of people? No. He's working for souls. Whatever is going to affect humanity in a way that it softens their heart and helps them for him to be able to get to their soul. You know how these tragedies affect us. You hear these tragedies. You see these horrible things that are happening around the earth, and the earthquakes and tidal waves and hurricanes, and whole things are being destroyed and people being wiped out. It touches your heart. It does something to you. God, that's what God's after. He's after the hearts of people. He wants that. So it says here, we have to have the wisdom and understanding of God. It says in 16, it says, length of days is her right hand, talking about wisdom. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Length of days is in her right hand. In other words, length of days sounds to me like long life. Length of days is in one hand of wisdom. Why? Because I'm not out doing the things that destroy lives. That's why. I'm listening to wisdom. Wisdom says you shouldn't touch this, you shouldn't try that, you shouldn't try this or that. You won't end up hooked on something. Wisdom speaks. People don't listen. They destroy their own lives. They shorten their days. And it's not just those kind of things. How about just you shouldn't be eating all that bacon? You shouldn't be eating all those sweets. How about that? Yeah. We shorten our days. By what we do, we shorten our days. Wisdom says, don't do that. Wisdom says, have temperance. Wisdom says, let your moderation be known. But instead, we indulge. We just indulge our flesh. Oh, it won't hurt. And once in a while, it would probably hurt. But it's more than once in a while. You know, every week we're overindulging in something. And there's so many gatherings and festivals and all these kind of things. You know what I'm talking about? To where it seems like every week there's a reason why you're eating that food. Well, it's just because I wouldn't have this in my house, but I go to all these places that have it. So if I'm not careful, I overindulge there.
That's true.
Although I wouldn't do it at home, but I can do it there. Wisdom, wisdom. It says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. For your soul's good. For grace. For the things you need in life. Keep wisdom and understanding close to you. And God is wisdom. That's who he is. He knows everything. He has the answer to every one of your problems, every one of your shortcomings, every one of the things that you look at and you say, Lord, this has got to change. He has the answer to it. But you have to acknowledge him. You can't just say, oh, Lord, help me not to do that again, and then never pray about it, never look up any scriptures about it, never go and seek counsel about it, never do any other spiritual work but that one short little prayer that you said and think that it's going to go away. We have to seek the Lord with our whole heart. Everything. We have to acknowledge him in everything. It says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Why? When I have wisdom and understanding and I'm wrapped in it, which means I know I'm not always right. I know I don't know the next thing to do. I know I'm not wise enough. I know that I have too many things going on in my head to know the right thing to do. I know I have to go and seek the Lord with all my heart before I speak about this thing because I'm not going to know what to say or how to do it. That's when you're not going to stumble. When you acknowledge God in all of it. Not just hurry up to get rid of it. Not just hurry up to get rid of the humiliation and all. But really acknowledge God in it. And say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. You ever just told the Lord, I do not know how to do this. I do not know the right thing to do, Lord. And then, do you wait for his answer? If it takes 6 months? Or do you finally just go ahead, I haven't heard anything from the Lord, so I just go ahead and use my best wisdom and handle the situation? Or do I wait on the Lord? Let him work. Let him prepare the way and work on the other side and do a bunch of things that he needs to do to get things lined up. And then he says, okay, now. And it'll just work out so smoothly. But we always want to rush things. We got to get out of this right now. This feels too bad. I don't like this. I don't like how this feels. I want out. What way can I get out? Some people say, well, I'll just stay away from that person. That's how I'm going to get out of it. I won't talk to them anymore. That's how I'm getting out of it. You know, I'll get them before they get me. That's how I'm going to get out of it. There's lots of ways people go to get out of it. But there's a way that God will lead a pathway to get out of it that when you get on the other side, you won't have to repent. You won't have to repent when you get on the other side if you follow the Lord. You will have done it his way. Proverbs 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Oh, listen. People are very, very touchy about their money. They don't want anybody telling them what to do with their money. They don't want anybody telling them that, you know, why is it that we as people, and I've heard it over and over, why is it that we as people want to say, just tell me how much? right? We want to treat giving to God like a bill, a set amount, something that I know is coming and something that I know is the same every month, and something that, you know, I want to treat it like a bill. Just tell me what it is. And sometimes they really don't care how much it is. Just tell me what it is. But that isn't what God wants. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance.
That's right. Amen.
We don't honor the electric company when we pay our bill, do we? No, we just do our duty, because otherwise they're going to turn off the electricity. We're not honoring them, but honor means that I actually am thinking of their interest, what is happening in their life, and I'm giving something to them. I'm honoring them. So we're looking at God and we're saying, God, what do you need? Where should I put my money? What should I give? How much should I give? How should this work, Lord? No, we want to set amount. That's why people say, so is it the same as in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, it was 10%. See, 10% is a pretty easy figure, right? It's pretty easy. But in the New Testament, it doesn't say that. It says, it's all the Lord's. So maybe what we should be asking the Lord is, Lord, is it all right to pay the electrical bill? Lord, is it okay to pay this over here? Is it okay? And then we get tighter. Is it okay? Can I buy this? Can I? That isn't what we do. We go to the store and we see something. Ooh, I want that. And we buy it. We don't acknowledge God with all of our money that is His, that He's blessed us with. We don't acknowledge Him with all of it. We acknowledge Him with His portion, and His portion is 10% plus maybe a little more. That's His portion. The rest is mine. After I pay these duty bills and I've given to the Lord His 10% plus, the rest is mine. And you know, sometimes the Lord would like to take all of the rest and put it towards something, a project or something that's going on, or given to a person that's having a hard time. But He can't even talk to us about those things.
That's true.
He can't even talk to us about those things. It used to be that the saints would tell stories about how the Lord would just impress them to give sums of money to somebody in the church. They don't know their circumstance. What do we want to know now? We want to know their circumstances. Well, how are they spending their money? And what are they doing? And are they making good decisions? And is this and that? We want to know all of that before we give anybody. And the Lord would just like to bless people. Do you know what? If somebody is, and they're a saint, maybe they're not being very wise with their money. Maybe they're not. And maybe they've made some bad decisions. And they're kind of feeling a little bad about it and everything. Don't you know that God can take your money and can lay it at their feet and bless them and forever teach them a lesson about how they spend their money? Don't you know He can do that? He can make them feel something inside because of somebody else's generosity when they knew they had just been foolish. Don't you know he can cement something there? But oh no, our money is ours. Acknowledge God with your money. It says 11 and 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. We're going to receive chastening. And the chastening of the Lord just doesn't always come in our head and say, you were bad, shame on you, you shouldn't have done it like that. That'd be nice. No, it's going to come from other people.
Yes.
And you know what? We're going to have to be just as humble with people as we are with the Lord when He tells us. But why is it so much easier to acknowledge God and so hard to acknowledge our brother and sister when they correct us? Why is it? I'm going to tell you why. Because we're thinking about, I don't know why they're telling me that. Because look what they're doing. I don't know why they're correcting me. Because that over there, I didn't say anything to them, but they felt like they could come to me. That's why we don't receive a correction. Because we think that those people that come to us are not worthy to correct us. They're not worthy to correct me. How dare they correct me? With all the stuff they have on hand, how dare they correct me? That's why we can't receive correction from one another. 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Oh, listen. How many times has something come to your mind and you wrestled with it through the day and thought, is that really God talking to me? Take a meal over to somebody or send somebody a card or something, you know, some little thing, not too much. And you're thinking, is that the Lord? You know, is that an ego? And by the end of the day, you haven't done it and you feel okay going to bed? The Lord would like to impress all of us to be a blessing to one another. He would like to impress us to send cards and letters and encouragements, texts in this day and age. He would like to encourage us to do those things. He would like to encourage us to have special prayer time for somebody that comes to our mind. He would like to encourage us to do good to all these things. Instead of, I'm being treated so bad, and they don't understand me, and they're so against me. And instead of our whole day being taken up with all the bad things that are happening to me, why don't I just go out and hand out good? Why don't I do that? He said, don't withhold it. When it's in that power of thine hand to do it, why are you withholding it? If it's something good.
Yeah.
Some people worry more about doing something like that than they do about how they speak. Well, I don't know, wrestle with myself all day. I feel like the Lord wants me to maybe make something and take it over to somebody's house, but, you know, how will they feel about it and how this and how that? And I worry all about that. But I don't worry about other things during the day that I just make snap decisions on.
Yeah.
I just make up the decision and say, well, that's what I'm going to do. I don't even consult the Lord. But I got to worry about it all day if he wants me to do something good. Got to really know that it's the Lord's will. If he wants me to do something good. Verse 30, strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Oh, you know what? There are many, many people striving about causes and all manner of things nowadays, and people have not even done anything to them. The people they're striving with haven't even done anything to them. Something may have happened one time, but that came from that person. That doesn't involve everybody else. We have to acknowledge God in everything that we're thinking about and how we're processing things and how we're living our life and how we're letting things influence us and how we work and have our being and operate through the day. We have to acknowledge God in all of it so that we can get the right understanding about these things, so that we can quit being self-centered and selfish and be more open and giving.
Yes.
Sometimes we worry so much. Well, I don't know if I can go in the car and do all of that and everything. You know, my ankles swell or my this happens or my back hurts or something like that. We worry about us all day long. I shouldn't do that because this will happen or that will happen to me. I shouldn't do this and all that, but you know, no, I can't do that because, you know, I.
That's
so.
Help me, Lord. That's Lord.
Let's acknowledge God in all our ways, the way we operate, our thoughts, our mindsets. Let's not acknowledge God in all those things and leave everybody else alone. Just acknowledge God in us and what we need to work on with us, in us, through us, about us. Let's acknowledge God there instead of worrying about they really need to get a hold of the Lord for that and they need to help with the Lord for that and they need the blah. No, let's just get a hold of this one. Get a hold of your own man. Hold your own man. Don't let him get away. Turn everybody else free and keep your own man. Acknowledge God in all your ways.